Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for your Spirit. Look at all these hungry people, Father. They've come out after a snowstorm on Monday night in America. Lord, there's 1,000 things they could each one be doing. But Father, they're here because they're hungry. They love you, Father. Your sheep have come, Lord. I know you're going to feed them well. So Father, just have your way in this place. Give us the mind of Christ for this service, for these people, for this day, for this hour. Father, have your way here. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. Well, the subject matter that I believe the Lord would have us minister on this week is, again, I started off like we have every service. I hope I'm not the only one that in my walk with the Lord has had a little trouble from time to time receiving instructions from the Holy Spirit. Has anyone else ever had any problem with that? Okay, for benefit of the tape, we're getting a few hands. Okay? And I'm talking about those real instructions. The kind where... Yes, sir, we'll do that again. The kind where if Jesus was standing there in the natural... So I guess we're going to do this again. Jesus and Holy Spirit, please come forward. Now, for benefit of the tape, I'm going to do my best to describe verbally, see, because the people who get this tape and weren't here, they can't see what we're doing. Now, I've had Pastor Jim come up, and wisdom is always when you're visiting in another man's church and you're going to do something like this, always make the pastor Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Okay, hallelujah. Say, don't ever make him the devil. But I've had... Pastor Jim come up to stand and represent Jesus. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, see, I'll represent Peter, one of the 12. And I forsook my fishing franchise to follow Jesus. And during those three and a half years that Peter followed Jesus, there's Jesus in the flesh. I can touch him. I can see him with my natural eye. I can listen. I can hear the teaching. But not only that, if I have a question, guess what? I can ask him and get this. He answers.
Hallelujah.
And another thing, you notice, I got to thinking, I bet Jesus didn't have to go off and fast for 40 days to find the answer. In other words, you have instant questions. Guess what? Instant answers.
Amen.
And so, now I'm going to follow you. So, you know, during those days, here's the physical Jesus where I'm Peter, where Jesus leads for benefit of the tape. Jim is walking around here, kind of a figure eight around the front of the auditorium, and I'm following right behind him because I can see him. All right, now let's stop for a moment. And then let's say that sometimes the Lord would have instruction for me, Jesus himself, while he was on the earth. And so instruct me to go get that donkey.
I want you to go get a donkey for me so I can ride it into Jerusalem. It's right over there, tied up to a post. You'll find it.
Now, see, I have a question. Lord?
Yes?
What if while I'm loosing the donkey... The owner comes out, and he asks me, why am I taking away his donkey?
Well, you tell them that you're doing this because the Lord sent you and has need of it, and he'll say that's okay.
All right, I know. Now, do you know, as Peter, do I know what to do?
Yes.
Have I received instruction? All right, now, stay right here for a moment. I have to go back up here and read a verse. Turn to John 14, I believe. Hallelujah. Yes, we'll start right here. John 14, and I want you to look at verse 16. Now, this is where, see, Peter had been following Jesus, and he had forsaken all, as did the other disciples, to follow Jesus, and they've been following this man for 3 years. But now Jesus is telling them, beginning here, the time has come, I'm going to leave now. I know you followed me for 3 years, but I'm leaving the planet, and I'm going to go to the fathers. Now, if you're Peter, does that give you a little alarm? I mean, you've forsaken everything. You've risked everything to follow this man. And now he's telling you he's leaving? But look at what Jesus tells him in John 14, verse 16. Now, notice this. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. You got that? Another comforter. Well, who's the first comforter? That's Jesus. That's the one Peter has been following. All right, so now let's just say real quickly, all of a sudden, Jesus leaves, goes to be with the Father. And here comes another comforter for benefit of the tape. Pastor Jim now has gone to sit down. He's gone to be with the Father. Wayne has come up to represent the Holy Spirit, because we have to get it in our head. This is a different person. The Holy Spirit is just as real as Jesus is. They're both God. See, now here's where our limited natural brain, if you get to thinking about this too much, your brain starts leaking right out your left ear. I mean, God is one. I mean, there's only one God. But there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They're all one. They're all separate. Don't think about it too much. Hold your hand over your left ear. But we know it's true, don't we? But the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, this is another, a different, a separate comforter. Okay? So you got to get that. But now there's a big difference. Now see, right now, I had Wayne come up and stand here because I want you to get it straight. This is a different person. The Holy Spirit is not Jesus. Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. It is a different comforter. But now, in the same way that Peter followed Jesus while Jesus was here, in the flesh I'm talking about, now he's saying, you're going to follow the Holy Spirit. Now, there's one big problem. See, right now, y'all can see Wayne. Go sit down, Wayne. Because the Holy Spirit, now even though Wayne is going to sit down, understand the person he represented is not. Amen. The Holy Spirit is here. He is just as real as Jesus. He has come to continue the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to follow the Holy Spirit in exactly the same way that the 12 followed Jesus. Now, from our point of view, though, there is a difference. We can't see Him. We have difficulty hearing Him. Yet Jesus plainly says in these chapters, John chapter 14, 15, 16, He says the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will speak. Now, He's not going to originate the thoughts that He speaks. What He hears, in other words, what He hears from the throne, He is going to speak that unto you. And that's how we'll follow Jesus now, not by physical sight and physical touch, but by hearing what the Holy Spirit says and then obeying those instructions. You got that? All right. Now, one of the biggest problems that we have in really hearing the Holy Spirit is this verse. I didn't read the very last part of John 14, 16. He says, Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. Do you agree with me that's the Holy Spirit? And that He may abide with you on Sunday. Well, wait a minute. That He may abide with you when you have goosebumps. That He may abide with you when you're good. Only when you're good. And what does it say? Now see, that's right there. We are not aware of the Holy Spirit's presence. Not in the real way that Peter was aware of Jesus' presence. But in the same way that as long as all Peter had to do was be where Jesus was, and he was in Jesus' presence, and all of the anointing and all everything that flowed through Jesus, Peter was right there, part and parcel of it. But see, because we don't see the Holy Spirit, we tend to think, well, in like a while ago, wasn't that wonderful when that spirit of worship come in here? I mean, right then, if I was to go around and take a survey, is the Holy Spirit here? Oh, yes. Yes, amen, Brother Gary. The Holy Spirit is with me. But see, tomorrow, when you're on your job, or when you've got a problem with your children, or whatever it is, we feel like orphans. Because we're not aware that the Holy Spirit is with us. And He is there to give you instant answers to instant problems. As long as we learn how to hear Him. Now, this lesson, these teachings, like all teachings that you hear from me, we give examples, we teach from the Word, we give examples from our own life, but you're going to find one common denominator. Yeah, I said it right. One common denominator. Everything that we teach and everything that we minister, the foundation is you building a personal relationship with the Holy Ghost yourself. Sue and I have been married 27 years. Now, many of you might have met Sue, and you might know Sue to a certain degree. But let me tell you something. Your relationship with her is not the same as my relationship with her. Our relationship is based on 27 years of living together. And get this, I can't lay my hands on you and give you my relationship with Sue. I can't do that. But see, that's kind of what people would like. Just lay your hands on me and let me have that same relationship with the Holy Spirit. People, it has taken thousands of hours, me getting alone with my Bible, praying in the Holy Ghost, meditating the Word and all of the things that we teach, developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Building a relationship is not an overnight thing. Building a relationship with somebody takes time. It takes sharing your life with that person. So you're going to find that there are no, give me a 1-2-3 formula. Okay, love Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit, and go pray. I guess that would be the best I could give you. Okay? Now, we do give you some things, like to entice you. But the bottom line, you need your fellowship, your own walk, your own time with the Holy Spirit. Really, that's up to you. See, He has come to abide with you forever. That means, in a way, He's stuck with you. Well, He is. What I mean by that, He's not going to abandon you. One time the Holy Spirit told me this, and I think I can quote it almost verbatim. See, we're just like you, and any minister you see in the pulpit, we're all pretty much the same. I try not to come across as something that I'm not. I hope you can tell that. You know, there's days when I just really disappoint myself. Do y'all ever just get disgusted with yourself? I mean, you know, something that, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be anything heinous, you know, but something maybe that you thought, man, well, let's just take a simple thing, losing your temper. Okay? My memories of junior high school is fights. That's all I remember. Well, fights and Sue. Fell in love with Sue during the summer between the 7th and the 8th grade. I was like Bambi. I got totally, first time I laid eyes on that woman, I was totally Twitter-pated. I mean, really. I mean, it felt to me like the earth kind of moved a little bit, and I staggered and I beheld this creature, and I said, my God, what have you created here? I mean, I fell in love with that. So I do remember Sue, but see, I was an angry young man. And I, as just the way it turned out, I'm 5'8" now. It's the same height I was in the 8th grade. I reached my full height, so I was bigger than most of them. And my daddy had taught me to fight. Plus, I weighed about 175 pounds in the 8th grade, and that's pretty good size. So I tended to whoop on folks. I did. I'd lose my temper. Now, later on, those guys kept growing. In about the 10th grade, boy, I paid a horrible price. They kept growing, and I didn't. But I'm just telling you, there was a time when I had a temper, I had a fuse about to, you know, 1/16 of an inch long. It didn't take much, boy. We was out in the back. Now, see, the Lord has been dealing with me for years, getting rid of that temper, see. And I'm not near like that, thank God. But every now and then, still, yeah, I'm just taking one fault. I have more faults than that, okay? We're just taking one everybody can relate with. Well, let's just say, you know, maybe you've done pretty good and not losing your temper for years. Maybe you've done pretty well. And then, boy, one day you just, yeah, man. And you just let somebody have it. And you just rip them up one side down the other. And you walk away from there. And you feel, man, immediately your conscience, if you're born again, is just smiting you. It's just smiting you, you know. Because And you go, yeah, I know I shouldn't have done that. Yeah. Well, you need to go pray. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to ask that person to forgive you. And so you get disgusted with yourself. You don't even feel like you're even worthy to go to the throne. You know, gosh, I was like that. And I was in one of those modes one day, and the Holy Spirit, two things He told me. First thing He told me was like this. He says, don't think religiously that I am only with you when your performance meets certain standards. He says, I am the friend who has been sent by the Lamb to abide with you forever. I have seen you at your best, and I have seen you at your worst. Yet, I still love you. Do not think that when your performance falls below certain standards, that I would forsake you. You have earthly friends who love you more than that. Think you not that I love you more than they? He said, the blood is always there, will always be there to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Son, as long as you don't give up on the blood, I will never give up on you. You're dismissed. I mean, that was worth the price of admission if there was one. Boy, if you just carry that away with you right there, you got free of a lot of religion. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. I have earthly friends that have seen me at my worst, and they're still my friends. We think the love of God is more fragile than that. Now, don't get me wrong. The Holy Ghost, we have children. I like it when my children are obedient and doing right. Okay, but even when they're messing up, it doesn't mean I don't love them. Our fellowship might be somewhat strained right then. Okay? But boy, my love has not changed, and I'm still available to help them. I'm just waiting for them to have a change of heart. And I'll welcome them back, boy, and we'll get this thing straightened out. Well, that's the way God is. His fellowship and His love for us, the Holy Spirit, is not so fragile that He sees one little failing of yours and that's it for you. No more fellowship for you. No more help from God for you. That's religion, man. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. So that one of the first things, the reason I wanted to go through that example again, when problems arise, now see, it's one thing tonight because we're in church and we've worshiped God and most of you felt His presence come in. So right now you're pretty aware of the Holy Spirit. But we're talking about when problems arise. See, the theme of this, the theme of these messages is receiving instructions from the mind of Christ that release the power of the Holy Spirit to solve the problem. You do know, again, I have to say this, the Holy Spirit can accomplish more for you in a single day than you yourself could accomplish in 1,000 lifetimes. You do understand that. So what's more important? You being real busy and working yourself to death for God, or learning how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit where His power comes in to solve the problems. Let's go with plan B, okay? Let's go with the second one. So let me repeat to you again. During this period of time in 1998, I was having a horrible time receiving instructions from the mind of Christ. It's not like I wasn't seeking Him. I was. I was in an intensive time of prayer every day. I was getting alone, spending a lot of time in prayer. But still, I was having trouble hearing, getting instructions what to do. So, am I in the right place? Okay. And here's what He said to me. He says, you are having difficulty receiving the instructions that come from the mind of Christ, in part because you are expecting them to come in a manner in which they shall not come. As I have spoken previously to you, when His instructions come, they come in such a manner that they release me to remove the burden from your shoulders. His instructions come in such a manner that the power of the Spirit of God is loosed to solve the problems. You are still expecting His instructions to come in a manner that will cause you to move. His instruction shall come in such a manner that will allow me to move, says the Spirit of grace. Simply continue to sit and listen to my counsel. He's talking about prayer there. You will receive these instructions. So, you still in John 14? Let's look at a few more things that that Jesus told us about the ministry of this other Comforter, the Holy Spirit, because we need to know a lot about Him. You do understand, physically, Jesus in His glorified body is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. You do understand that, right? Now, He can't appear to you in a vision, but literally, Jesus Himself, the glorified man, the glorified man God, Jesus, is seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father. If you're going to try and follow Him in the same way that Peter followed Him, you're going to have to go to heaven, because that's where He is. He says, I'm going to send to you another Comforter, and that is the Holy Spirit. So what, on this earth, we don't want to be like that guy that says, well, one thing's for sure, I'm going to have power to cast out devils once I get to heaven. You won't need power to cast out devils when you get to heaven. Well, I'm going to walk in the fullness of my healing anointing when I get to heaven. There's no sick people there. Where we need all of that is now. And the one that we've got to follow is the Holy Ghost. So the more we can know about the Holy Spirit, He is the one we're following, and He is the one that's empowering us. See, in Acts it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with who? I mean, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. But it's that anointing of the Holy Ghost and power that released all the works of the Father. Jesus said, it's not me doing the works, it's the Father doing the works. And it comes by that Holy Spirit. So, if you notice, even Jesus Himself, born perfect, the spotless Lamb of God, born with a righteous nature who never sinned. He Himself never did one miracle, never did one supernatural work till He was baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You got that?
Right.
Well, if He needed the baptism in the Holy Ghost, honey, you need it.
Amen.
Now, at the end of this service tonight, if you're here and you can't speak in tongues, if you don't come put your toes on the green line, I don't know what to think about you. If Jesus needed the... What are you telling us? Jesus needed the baptism in the Holy Ghost and you don't? You need it? Anyway. Getting a little ahead of myself. I'm supposed to teach, not preach, right? Okay. All right, now let's look at a few more things that Jesus told us about this Comforter, this Holy Spirit. First off, again, in verse 16, I will pray the Father, He will give you another Comforter. Now get this. That He may abide with you forever. Just say this with me. I'm just going to quote the scripture. Jesus said,
He's
sending me another Comforter.
He's sending me another Comforter.
That Comforter is the Holy Ghost.
That Comforter is the Holy Ghost.
He's with me tonight.
He's with me tonight.
He's with me tomorrow.
He's with me
on my good days.
He's with me on my bad days.
He's with me forever. Oh, you're leaving religion. Look out. Look out. You might start walking in some power. Oh, look out. Let's go on a little bit. Go down to verse 26. Now, we'll start in verse 25. Now, remember, Jesus, these are red letters in my Bible. This is while Jesus was still in His own body on the earth. And He says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. We're going to come back to that one in a little bit. I'm going to show you how He gave me an instruction using this verse that released the Holy Spirit's power. How many of you would like the Holy Spirit's power to solve a $6,000 problem for you?
Hallelujah.
I'm going to tell you about one here in just a minute. That just happened last month. Is that close enough? We're not talking, you know, back in the days of the Bible. These are the Bible days. What do you mean back in the Bible days? These are the Bible days. As far as I'm concerned, the Acts, the book of Acts is still being written. In heaven, there's still a book of Acts being written because the Holy Ghost is still moving.
Yep.
Glory to God. So we see here that this Holy Spirit, boy, He's going to teach you all things. And if there's something you forgot that Jesus said, He's going to bring back to your remembrance what Jesus said. I call that a pretty good deal. Because the Holy Ghost is God in the flesh. He don't forget nothing. Well, hallelujah. That's a good deal. Let's come on down to, there's so much here. Come on to chapter 16 and look at verse 12. Jesus is talking to the disciples. Now, you got to understand, at this moment when He's telling them this, He has not yet been glorified. He's not yet gone to the cross. That whole event has not yet happened. So these men, as of this moment, they're not yet born again in their spirit. That's not really available till after the cross, right? So look what He says to them. He says, He's been teaching them for 3 years. But see, there's only so much you can teach a non-born again person. All right? Now, verse 12, He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, look at me for a minute. Pastor Dave gives a real good illustration on this. It's not that you can't understand them. Well, in a way, you can't. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 2, you really can't. But here's the example Dave uses. He says that Dave has a daughter. Her name's Tawny. Now, let's say when Tawny was 8 years old. Well, let's go a little younger. Six years old. Little six-year-old girl, if she was to get in the seat, the driver's seat of most cars, her little legs wouldn't even reach the pedals, right? I mean, no way she could get on the brake and all of that. And so let's say that Dave gave her instructions, but at age six she could understand this. He would say, okay, I want you to, here's the keys, go get in the car. I want you to run down, take the car, drive down to the drugstore, pick up some aspirin or whatever, and then drive back and bring me the aspirin. Now, do you reckon Tawny could understand what he said? But there's a problem. She's not able to do it. See, and that's what he's talking about. Men, he says, I've taught you with parables. I've taught you with these natural things that any man can understand. But see, right now, I have a lot of things more to tell you, but you can't receive them. You're going to have a hard time understanding them, much less walking in them. Until later on. But see, after you're born again, you're going to have a teacher that can teach your new nature. And that is the Holy Spirit. So look what he says here. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now notice this. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Now wait a minute. See, right there, stop. Because the religious mind says, well, duh. You're Jesus. You're God's Son. Of course everything that the Father has is yours. But then our thinking stops right there because we just flat don't believe what Jesus said, that through the born-again experience, He is the firstborn of many brethren. You be the brethren. And the Bible says that we are joint heirs with Him. Meaning, whatever is His is yours. It's ours. That's why the Holy Spirit, and a big part of the Holy Spirit's ministry, let me just say it in this, is to show you the inheritance that's been given to you by God. Quiet in here. Now, we're going to get practical on this in a minute. Because I know you've heard messages. How many of you have ever heard a message, you're a joint heir? See, I have too. I want that to help me with my Sears bill. See, in other words, if we don't get these principles, I'm not here to come and teach principles really to you. We're come to take the Word of God and bring it down on the level where you plug in with the Holy Ghost, and whatever the enemy's doing in your life, you and the Holy Ghost are going to destroy that. And not only are you going to be more and more free, you're going to get other people free. In Jesus' name, see? Now, there is an inheritance. Well, and see, we see it in the life of Jesus so well. When he goes around, was he a threat to the devil? Dear God, everywhere he goes, I mean, he's just undoing anything that the devil did. You know? And, you know, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. And get this, he also gave a lot of money to poor people. How many of y'all would like to see that song we sang, Let the Poor Say I'm Rich? Yeah, I'd like to give some money to the poor, and I'm the first poor in line. No, we're not. We're joint heirs. See? Anyway, we'll get to that as the things progress. But he says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. In other words, I am the firstborn, I am the heir, and you are joint heir with me. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So one of the main ministries of the Holy Spirit is to show you your inheritance. Why? So you can thirst after it and long for it, but never touch it? No. Back up, we're still in the same, we're staying in the context. Back up again to 14. You know why? He wants us to know our inheritance, not only know it, but walk in it. Verse 12, John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. That's why he wants us to not only know our inheritance, but walk in that inheritance. In order to do that, we're going to have a real good relationship with the Holy Ghost. All right? Let me find one other verse here I want to show you. I'll start now with the example from our life. Now, okay, we'll do it like that. Now, see, most people that long to be in ministry, I know what that's like. There was a time when, I knew I was called. And the part that we think about is glory to God, the anointing of God, and doing whatever it is that God has called you to do. If you're a teacher, to teach with the anointing of God. If He's called you to be an evangelist, to win souls and get the people healed, and that's the part you think about is all that ministry part. But see, what people don't realize is in the United States of America, to be a full-time minister, you got to be a full-time businessman. Because I don't know whether Paul and them had to deal with the IRS. We do, don't we, Jim? And, you know, as your ministry grows, you've got... See, I ran my own business in the world for 25 years. My dad and I, and then me by myself. But I know what it is to operate. I know what it is to have payroll to meet. I know what it is to have concrete bills to pay. I know what all that is. And God has used all that experience that I had, because I find out that part of the operation of the ministry is almost identically the same. If you're a businessman, there's many of the details that we have to handle that are identically the same as yours. Okay? We have budgets to meet. We have people to pay. We've got tax. I got to file my 941 like you got to file your 941. And all of those things, see? So, we were coming to the end of this year, 2002, and most of you know that our main function, what we do, is we send teaching tapes around the world. We send them for free. At last count, which was really a year ago, I don't know where we are now, but a year ago, I'm sure it's more because it keeps increasing, but a year ago we were sending tapes to roughly 5,000 families, a little bit over 5,000 families, and they were going into 36 nations. We send all those tapes for free, postage paid, and there's not even a return envelope in them. And the way the Lord has us do it, we're never allowed to tell, like send an appeal letter, let you know that we need another tape duplicator, or let you know that our car is wearing out, or let you know which none of that's so. We don't need any of that. I'm not telling you that for any reason. I'm just saying we're not allowed to do it that way. He said to go to Him as our source. And as long as we obeyed what he told us, then he would take responsibility for the finances. He would speak to the hearts of people himself to support us. And he's been doing that all these years now. But here we are. This meant this last year was a year of tremendous growth. I mean, we had a lot of new people. The expenses just kept shooting up. Our daughter, our oldest daughter, got married to a wonderful young man named Kyle. He's a Rhema graduate. And he wanted to come to work full-time in the ministry, and we needed him full-time in the ministry, so now he's working there also. So that increases your payroll expense. You understand what I'm saying? You got another person, you got more payroll. All right? Now, every year, we have always finished the year debt-free. Everyone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everyone say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, we've ended the year debt-free. And what I mean by that, even the monthly bills, like like our tape orders, you know, we go through 1,000 tapes every 3 days now. We get a good price on those, but that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Our postage, many months, runs $2,000 to $3,000, just the postage on all this thing. So every year prior, right at the end of the year, everything we just paid in full. Everything. This year, we're about roughly 30 days away from the end of the year. And even though we're current on everything, in other words, let's just take the tapes. The account that we have there, the easiest way for them to buy them, we have it set up on my ministry Visa card. Okay? So that makes it real easy for them. We call them, we say, we want 2,000 tapes, put it on the card, they ship the tapes, they get their money, we get an invoice from Visa, and we just pay it. Now, Visa makes their money when you don't pay it in full. Isn't that right? I mean, Visa loves you if you make minimum payment. So I don't want you to think we're behind on anything. I mean, as far as Visa was concerned, I think I could have sent them $84. And boy, I'm square. And they like me.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's the minimum payment. But see, that's not the way that I wanted to do it. I wanted to end the year with everything paid. Not just be current on the payment. I want it paid off. Because that's the way we've always done it. So we're coming near the end of the year. And that bill and one other one, I just got to figuring it up. And one of them was about $2,900, and the other one was close to $3,000. We roughly needed $6,000. Now, when you don't have a relationship, let me put it this way. I don't want to say that that way, because every one of you has a relationship with the Holy Ghost, or you wouldn't be here. What I'm trying to communicate is this. When we're not aware that He is standing right next to me, in the same way that Wayne was standing next to me, and we have a problem, like our ministry, or you could say my business, or you could say my house needs $6,000. If you're not aware of the Holy Spirit's presence, then your mind immediately gravitates towards what man can do. Now, if you were just a head of a house, just a normal guy or a normal woman, you might start and say, well, I need $6,000. Well, you might think, well, they're hiring Christmas help this year. Maybe I could get on down there and I could work. I'm already working one job, but I could go down and I could work in the evenings and I could make a little extra money. Or if you're working like a man in a machine shop or a factory, say, well, they've been needing overtime. I could start coming in working on Saturdays. I get time and a half on Saturday, double time on Sunday. See what I'm talking about? And there's nothing wrong with that, with those things, but we're trying to move beyond what man can do and get over into what God can do. Now, let me just go on a little bit more. If you were running a business and you needed $6,000 more, and there's nothing wrong with this, but normally what kind of thing does your mind go to? Well, we can run a big sale. Maybe we can entice the people. We'll take a few of our products. We'll reduce the price on them 20%, because if we get them in the store, then they'll see other things they want to buy, and we'll make a good profit on those. And we'll generate an extra $6,000. See, am I making sense to y'all? This is the way natural man thinks, and there's nothing wrong with it. We're just talking about something else here. Well, now, here's the problem. In ministry, as a minister, if you're not aware of the Holy Spirit's presence, what do you do normally? What have y'all seen most ministers on Christian, and what do the sinners see most Christians doing, most Christian ministers doing? Suddenly they need $6,000. If you don't give, we're going off the air. Oh, we want you to maximize them credit cards. We want you to sow until it hurts. I can start getting that sing song, Oh, the Lord, you're going to have to give unto the Lord, Yeah, I say, preach it, white boy, preach it. That's what, get the white hanky going here. Glory to God. And the sinners see that and it turns their stomach, and it should.
That's right.
It should turn their stomach. When I hear that stuff, if you don't give, God, boy, they'll get the tears running down their face, If you don't give, we're going off the air. Sue can tell you, I usually stand up in my chair and I go, go, get off the air. Go quickly and quietly. If God can't keep your operation afloat, I can't. But see, in ministry, that's kind of where your mind goes, because, boy, it's real easy to start seeing the people as your source. See, I don't care if you're in ministry or not. I don't care if you're a businessman or not. I don't care if you're a parent in here or not. People are not your source. If you'll ever get this straight, your job is not your source. Your business is not your source. God. Why did Paul say to the Philippians, that bunch that was his number one supporters, the ones that understood a little about the grace, he said, my God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, no doubt those funds came, those people were employed, they did all kinds of things, but they understood who their source was. Okay? Well, getting back to a minister that's in trouble, a minister that needs $6,000 like we needed $6,000 just a month ago. I have to watch it myself. My mind will drift over to natural thinking. We got 5,000 people on the mailing list. If everybody just sent $2. You got to watch that, boy. You got to watch that. Because the tendency is, let's see, we could send that. It's coming up Christmas time. We could send a Christmas letter. Bless the people. See, you can just start justifying all this stuff. We could send a Christmas letter. We have 5,000 families on the list. And we'll just bless them and tell them all these wonderful things. And just right near the end, we'll just kind of halfway mention just any little old thing. I mean, not really beg for money. We'll disguise it. But they'll get the message. Just a few little dollars, And maybe if enough of them will do, then we'll have now you're even starting to discuss the Holy Ghost. He's standing right next to me. He's standing right there. Watch, I think 99% of the time He's standing there full of all power, full of all wisdom, full of all knowledge, nothing that can't be accomplished, and He's looking at us trying to figure things out with our peanut brain. And trying to come up with puny little man's efforts and man's ideas on getting stuff done. And if He had a physical finger, I think He'd be going, hey, tapping you on the shoulder, I'm here. Hey, I'm the comforter that's been sent. Hey, hello. But see, we're over here because we tend to be deaf to that. And we don't hear that. And we're just so locked into our little box of human thinking that we just do things man's ways. Well, I'm learning over the years. I've been learning this, been at this a while. We've been about 10 years at this now. And so here I had this $6,000 dilemma, and I won't tell you that certain thoughts didn't go through my mind like that. I have to watch that kind of thinking because it's just natural, normal human thinking, and the devil loves to empower that. But I come to myself, and I go, now, wait a minute. No, we're not going to, that's not what the Lord told us to do. Father, you're my source. I'm just going to get quiet here for a moment and just pray in the Spirit and listen. I'm praying in the Spirit. Now, you remember where we read there a while ago that part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of things that Jesus has already said? You remember that? As I got quiet, this is what I heard come floating up in my spirit. Now, just remember I told you one of the four ways that the Holy Spirit communicates. Sometimes an external voice, sometimes a vision, sometimes a revelation, sometimes a dream. This time it was that internal voice. I just heard these scriptures, these words of Jesus floating up, if you will, within me to where I could hear them. And here's what I heard. The Holy Spirit said, or reminded me of what Jesus had said, Your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask Him. Right about then, I heard another scripture. You have not because you ask not. Cool. And I'm going, could it be that simple? Oh. Let's see. Now, what did Jesus say? Let's go back up here and look at this again for a moment. You still in John somewhere? Okay. While we're in that same passage, look at John 16 and go on down to verse 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Now, the day he's talking about is after the cross, in the day when you're born again. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name will give it you. Does it sound to you like he's stuttering there? Does that sound like a maybe so, there might be a good chance if God's, you know, taking a liking to you that day? You know, I mean, when he says he will give it you, isn't that pretty forceful? So I'm thinking, okay. Now, the important part in that verse, you might as well know, is when he says, in my name. Now, I just got to tell you this. In the early days when I hadn't really spent any time hardly in prayer, I was born again. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, but I was still about as carnal as a $3 bill. You know, this whole gospel was about me. Longer cars and VCRs. Today it'd be SUVs and DVDs. See, and the reason I'm mentioning this is because I know a lot of people that are in the same boat. I almost took that phrase there like in my name, in the name of Jesus, to be almost like a lucky rabbit's foot. Yeah. Or in other words, like that was his Father. Now I'm going to exaggerate. I never was this bad, but I'm going to exaggerate for teaching purposes. Now let's just say in the early days, I wasn't this bad. Okay, don't write me any letters. I wasn't this bad. But let's just say that, you know, you're carnal, you're trying to understand how this works, you're just a baby, you've not spent much time to where the Holy Ghost can change your motivations. So it's all about you. All right? God loves me. That's great. Jesus said, whatever I asked the Father for in His name, the Father would give it to me. I've always wanted, now I wasn't this bad, I've always wanted a different color Cadillac car to drive every day of the week. So Father, I'm asking you for a different color, brand new Cadillac car. I need seven of them, Lord. Seven different colors. So I can drive a different color Cadillac car every day of the week. In the name of Jesus.
Yes,
oh, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking. Almost like that's the authentication. You know? Oh, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking. Almost like forcing God. Look at this verse, God. Now you got to give it to me. Oh, brother, I wasn't that bad. I really was. But see, that's what very few people really knows what that means. What it means is when you say, in the name of Jesus, listen, that's when you have become His servant and you have become His steward. Just like the example that we gave earlier when Pastor Jim Martin was playing the role of Jesus and he sent Peter on a mission. Now, while Peter's on a mission to get that donkey, Peter is going to do this in the name of the Lord. And when the man asks, why do you loose the colt? He says, I've come... Now, he didn't ask. He says, the Master has need of it. You might as well say, I am here representing my Master, Jesus Christ. I have come and I'm doing this in His name because He has authorized me and sent me to do it. Now, that's what it means. And as you begin being transformed, spending time with the Holy Spirit where He can change your motivations and you start understanding your calling, and then you start stepping out in that calling, now you're operating in the name of Jesus. That's what we've been endeavoring to do for years, so that the tape ministry, the reason we do it that way is that's what the Master told us to do. Now, in the course of that, if a need arises, I am authorized by the name of Jesus to go to my Father, and whatsoever I ask the Father in the name of Jesus, in other words, Father, it's the Lord that sent me on this mission. It's the Lord that's having us do these tapes in the first place. So I've come in His name, not my own. And I'm asking you, Lord, we need $6,000. Because I would like to have the testimony continue that we finished the year 2002 debt-free. So I did it. I told Sue about it. She came in agreement with me. We just asked the Father just like that. It wasn't any more complicated than that. Father, we're asking you for $6,000 before the first of the year so that we can end this year debt-free, every bill paid. Father, we believe we receive when we pray right now, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, from that day on, we don't ever ask Him again. I figure my God is real. I figure He's not deaf. I figure He doesn't have a bad memory. I reckon He heard me when I prayed, and my answer is on the way. All right? Days go by. Nothing really happens. Nothing changes. If we think about it at all we do is, Father, thank you again for hearing us. We thank you for the $6,000. Lord, thank you that we end this year debt-free in Jesus' name. We just thank you and we go on about our business. Don't ask Him again. Don't fret. Don't worry. And don't think up any plan B. Leave it in His hands. You got me?
Yeah.
You got me?
Yeah.
Sit around. Well, we had to leave town before I could really get all my... Later on, I'll have all the dates and numbers and everything. But I'm thinking it was about a week before we left to come here. One of the ways that we have set up, people who live in other nations especially, that's why we did this, they can make donations to the ministry, if the Lord speaks to them, through a credit card donation at the website. Now, I have a big teaching there. Don't you even think about going into debt to give to us. That is not the mind of the Lord. But see, like people, well, in South Africa, Brahm, raise your hand. It's our friends Brahm and Heloise, his wife, from South Africa. Over there, your currency is in rands. I had someone send us a check years ago in rands. We could never get that thing deposited into our bank. We tried. We took it literally to the bank, and they tried to run it through. Trouble is, it has to go through about three banks in two or three countries. And finally, they just returned it to us and says, we can't do this. We've had that happen with German marks. We've had it happen with other things. So the main reason that the Lord had us make that credit card vehicle available, see, he can let Visa do all the conversion from rands to dollars. You know, same thing with the Canadian dollar. Same thing with all the other currencies around the world. This is a way they can give without us having to go through the back door with Deutschmarks and God knows what all, okay? But I have a real strong teaching there that don't you do it. Don't you? I don't care what you've been taught. I don't care what those preachers are saying. Don't you go into debt to give. That's not the mind of God.
Right.
My Bible says it's, if there's first a willing mind, it's accepted according to what a man has, not according to what he has not. So how in the world they can say it's God's mind for you to go into debt and give what you don't have? Boy, that is just, I don't care who's preaching it and how many PhDs they got behind their name. That just stands for post-hole digger. Well, if they're preaching that stuff, that's what it stands for, post-hole digger. Or else piled high and deep, I don't know which. But. Boy, you have to get free religion to come to my meetings now. I'm getting a hanky over here, glory to God, I'm getting a hanky. That's good preaching, Brother Gary. Well, anyway, now we hadn't done anything. You got to understand, when I say we didn't do anything, we didn't let anybody know about this. Sue and I and the Holy Ghost are the only ones that know. But see, I've learned over the years, He's here. I'm trying to get better at that, at every decision. Holy Spirit is right here. He's in me, but He's also with me. He's with me in the same way Jesus was with Peter. Okay? About a week before we left to come up here, my daughter, we were in a church service. And when we get out, I always turn on my cell phone out in the car. We'd never leave our cell phone on in church. That's a certain... But there should be a chapter and verse for that. But anyway, whenever a cell phone rings and Dave's doing a service, Dave is so smooth. You know, he'll be teaching. It might be at a really critical point. And ring, ring, you know, here comes the cell phone. He says, if that's God, tell him I'm doing the best I can. Or tell him I'll be through in a minute. I'm hurrying, you know. Anyway, we had just finished the service, and we get out, we're in the car, and the first thing I usually do is reach down there and turn the cell phone on. And it beeped, meaning there's a message. So I got this message, and it's our middle daughter, Angie. She's the one that handles all the deposits and everything, and she's the one that checks that website thing. If anything comes in, she knows she's the one that processes it. So there's a message. And she don't tell me what it is, but she says, call me tonight. It doesn't matter how late. Oh, and it's a good thing. She didn't want me to think something, you know, something bad had happened. It's a good thing, but call me tonight. I don't care how late. So, okay. So I call her up and she says, had you checked the website thing today? Have you checked the donation page? Well, no, honey, I don't normally do that. She says, I know, but did you check it? She's excited. And I said, well, no, I didn't check it. She said, I did. She said, Daddy, we got a $5,000 donation.
Praise
today,
God.
Through the website, $5,000. And I'm trying for her sake to get excited. I'm not just preaching that. See, I used to get excited like that when the manifestation comes. I get excited now when I pray. Because I know He heard. I know it's done. I know it's done right then. I've been at this too long. When somebody has delivered you about 10,000 times, you get to where you trust Him.
Amen.
You know, you get to where you trust Him. We have a 10-year at least relationship going on like this. It's really, we've been saved 23 years now. But I mean this intense relationship, this building a relationship with the Holy Ghost. He's come through for me so many times. So I said, honey, that's real good. That's real good. And I still didn't tell her. Because 5,000, how many knows 5,000 is not success? But see what happened over the next few days. We had enough come in when we paid the final payroll of the year. And every other bill except those two I told you about. So the only thing left here. So now I'm looking at that. There was enough other money come in that after paying payroll, after paying every other expense, everything that you could possibly pay, and I've got those two left, we didn't have 6,000. We had 7,500.
Praise God.
So the deal's done.
Yeah.
And we start the year off debt-free, $500 to boot. Hey, when we started this ministry, we had $10. I reckon we're $490 to the good.
Yeah.
Now, is that good stuff or what? But that's the power of the Holy Ghost. He told me. See, it all depends. Now, if it depends on what He tells you as you start building a relationship. But the way He told us that He would handle the finances for us, He said as long as we do the tape ministry the way He told us, He would speak to the hearts of the people. So I have to believe He does that. Now, if you're in business, He has plans for your business. He has a mind. There is a plan already in existence for that business. What, you think you caught God by surprise that you own that business? Gee, we didn't think He'd buy that business. We didn't think He'd be in business. Give me a break. He knows everything already. And there is a plan. There is a marketing plan. And at the same time, it is the very mind of Christ for you. If you're just a mother raising children, maybe you're a single head of a household, trust me. There is a plan that was laid out before the foundations of the world, and your finances are in there. Your job is not to try and create something. Your job is to go listen to the counselor, listening to the Holy Ghost, to find out what the plan is. How do y'all like that $6,000 dilemma? Can you see the difference between doing it man's ways and doing it God's way? Now, the reason I even hesitate a lot of times to teach these things, I got to go back to, and He's reminding me of this. Listen, the point of these teachings and the reason we give these examples is not for you to try and go out and imitate what we do. Please. We had to pray down our own plan. Thank you very much. He's got a plan for you. Don't go imitate. Well, like somebody might hear this and miss a little bit what I'm saying. Like, okay, the thing to do in our business is just ask God for $6,000. That's not what I said. What I said was, don't forget that the Holy Spirit is with you. What you need to do is get quiet, pray, and listen to your counselor. He will bring all things. He will show you things to come. He will show you your inheritance, and He will even bring to your mind things Jesus has already said. Remember, that's how it started. And He's the one that brought up those verses. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask Him. That was the key. Just in our case, it was go ask. But the real key was to listen to what our counselor had to say. See, there might be some of you, I'm not looking at anybody now, there might be some of you that, you know, you've been fighting off the voice of the Holy Ghost for so long because He's been trying to get you to forgive somebody for years. And you just can't bring yourself to do it to the point now you've almost seared your conscience. And you can't even hear Him. It's not that He's not still dealing with you. You seared your own conscience. I'm not looking at anybody. The reason is that, boy, I mean, you have to be careful, you know. I just look at somebody when I say a certain thing and everybody goes, No. I have no idea. I'm just trying to give you an example. See, the key for somebody, if you got quiet, the reason you don't get quiet and listen, because He's going to remind you of something He's been trying to deal with you about for years. Like maybe forgiven. Yeah, but you just don't know how bad they hurt me. Did they nail you to a cross? That nature that's on the inside of you will forgive them if they nail you to a cross. Mm-hmm. And that nature on the inside of you, the real nature of Christ, will lay down your life for your worst enemy. Isn't that good stuff? See, the key for somebody, Holy Ghost has been trying maybe to get other all kinds of blessings to you for years. But if you got quiet and listened, that might be one thing that would float up. Well, remember, I've been trying to get you to forgive old so-and-so. You know, bake them a cake. Take them a pie. Tell them you love them. You're sorry. See, yeah, but it was their fault. Forgive them anyway. Was it our fault? Did Jesus die on the cross because it was His fault? He died on the cross because it was our fault. And He did it anyway. That's what His love in us does. Amen? See, I'm trying to make a point. The point of this lesson tonight is not necessarily just the asking. That's what we needed to do in this case. The key was getting quiet. The real first key, He, the Holy Spirit, this other Comforter, is with us. He is one of the things He's called is our Counselor. So instead of us just with every problem that comes along immediately going into man mode, you know, what can man do? Let me read it to you again. See, we're always concentrating on what we can do. But the real instructions that come from the mind of Christ, he says, you're still expecting His instructions to come in a manner that will cause you to move. His instructions come in such a manner that allow me to move, says the Spirit of grace. Can you see that in the illustration I gave you? If I was just trying to do things that I could do, we'd be writing appeal letters. We'd be doing all kinds. We'd be selling you holy water from Israel. I'd be out there slicing little slices off the oak trees on our property and selling you pieces of the cross or something. You know, I mean, that's how all that stuff starts. But rather than that, listen. How hard is it? How much sweat, Gary? How much toil? How much effort did it take for you to say, Father, I've come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, Sue and I are asking you for $6,000 above and beyond the normal ministry income so that we can end this year debt-free and have that testimony. Father, I believe that you hear us when we pray. Thank you right now for the $6,000. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wish I would have timed that. Was that 60 seconds? Not a whole lot of man's effort involved in that. But did He bring it to pass? And see, we were freed up from that burden from the instant we prayed. You just don't know how free. I wish I could convey to you. That's happened over... It wasn't always like that. But over a period of years, again, don't forget the part, building a relationship with anybody takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. But after years of having this relationship with Him, watching Him come through for us again, I just can't tell you how free we are when we pray. It's done. It's over. And isn't that what Jesus said faith was? Let's finish on that note. A refresher. Mark 11, verse 23. This is my first closing. For those on my mailing list, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. Forget that. No, I really am. I can sense that he's conveyed to you pretty much what he wants to say. I think did he get it across to you? Do you understand? That's not rocket science, right? Okay. But here's really what faith is. Mark 11, we'll start in verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Stop. Did we have a specific desire? We needed $6,000 because we wanted to end the year debt-free, really for the testimony of Jesus. So the ministry could be debt-free and we could continue to say that. All right? What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. When? When you pray. And you shall have them. When you stand praying, here's that other part, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. The number one hindrance to most prayers is unforgiveness. Number one. Because you violate everything the cross is about. Hallelujah. Did y'all receive anything tonight? Was that simple enough? Did you understand it? Now, if you are going to put this in practical application, I like it where the rubber meets the road. See, whatever you relate, some people in here may have a much better relationship with the Holy Spirit than I do. I don't know. But all I can tell you is, well, Gary, what happened? What was the main thing you did that started increasing your actual fellowship, your relationship with the Holy Spirit? What was it that you did? Well, we heard the message 10 years ago that Dave Roberson preaches, that as you spend time praying in other tongues, your born-again human spirit is in literal face-to-face contact with the Holy Ghost. And there is a fellowship going on there that's much deeper than the intellect. Your spirit is in direct communication with the Holy Ghost. And all those mysteries, all those things we'd like to know, like what is my call? What would be step one? What would be the first thing I need to do? All of those things that are mysteries, the Holy Spirit is literally communicating the answers to your human spirit. And you get it first in the spirit, then you'll start receiving it in your understanding. I can't make it any more simple than that. That's how it began for us. Just began spending, turn the TV off. Now I was driving trucks. I had to turn the CB off. But for most of you, you don't have to, you just have to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. Anyway. I have a lot of tapes on that. If I start on that, we'll be here till midnight next week. See, in the early days, I used to pray, oh God, give me some, how will I say anything? Give me enough words to fill up an hour. Yeah. Nowadays, I don't ever finish. How do you finish talking about Jesus? Amen. I don't ever finish. I just have to quit. So in Jesus' name, for tonight, I quit. Pastor Jim, come on up. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God.